Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, welcome to Takes from Obvious Bosos. I'm Drew. Joining me as always is Zach. Zach, how is it going?
As great as it ever has been, because the Knicks are contenders and we have young talent again.
They are contenders and it is super exciting. But before we get into your takes and the chaos that basically ensued over the past few days, BetOnline is your number one source for all. I feel like this is an older one.
It is. It hasn't been updated yet, so you're gonna have to wing it.
Okay. BetOnline is your because right now it says NBA Finals and Stanley Cup, and those have been already done. Unfortunately, the Celtics won, and then I don't want to say unfortunately the Panthers won because I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs. We have MLB in full effect right now. The Yankees, I believe, are still atop the AL East and all of MLB, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a little while since I checked
I don't think they are. They've had a slight skid lately.
That's unfortunate, but the MLB regular season, full effect. The Olympics are coming up. Free agency, I wouldn't be surprised if BetOnline has free agency odds for the NBA that's coming up. But when the game is over, head on our online casino to get in on the game of blackjack or poker or online with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAVE for 50% off a welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And again, do not forget, B. Strickland, we are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. Are we still suspended on Elon's Twitter?
We're back on Twitter. But if you were following us on Instagram, it would be okay because you would have another outlet for us. We were off Twitter when Elon decided to purge a couple accounts yesterday during the draft, but we survived. We're back. We're okay.
That's right. But again, follow us on Instagram at the Strickland. Follow us on TikTok at the Strickland. If you want to hear the entire catalog of takes from Obvious Bozos, we're actually doing something really special for the next two episodes. Is that we are going to make this entire thing free. So you get an idea of what you're missing out on. But if you want to have your takes, either praised, examined, butchered, whatever it may be, go to patreon.com/thestrickland. That's where you can sign up for all of our different tiers. We have a $6 tier that gets you the access to this full episode and everything that used to be with it and everything along with it, as in the history of the show. You get the Friday episodes of Pod Strickland with Prez and Schwinn. The $9 tier, you get our NFL show, Strictly NFL, with Con and Jeff. And it's just, you get all the great articles from Matthew Miranda when you sign up. It's honestly, it's the best deal you can get. And again, you get access to our Discord channel where we are talking about everything from the draft, free agency, to baseball, to anime, whatever you want to discuss, we are there. But again, go to patreon.com/Strickland, or you can even just go to the strict.land, find the Patreon links on our website, and it'll take you right there to whatever you want. So, Zach, are you ready to? We have takes, and it's all going to bleed in, but I do think, how much do you follow the draft in terms of like the lead up?
Very much. Like, I'm sure a lot more than you do. Very confident saying that.
Yeah, so, I think that's totally fair.
I am proud to say that I knew three of the four Knicks picks prior to them being made, and the fourth one was the 58th pick in the draft, where they picked somebody that I don't think any of us have heard of. But the other three I knew about, I was excited about, and I'm really, really, I'm still excited about. I'm very happy that we have him.
So I don't know anyone, and there's a freeing aspect to it, I think. Now, when I go this route, I do miss following the narrative, though, right? I do miss the lead up of, like, the difference between what, like, ESPN says when they do, like, their shows about the draft or, like, their segments on SportsCenter about the draft versus what Twitter people say about the prospects in the draft versus what, like, our coverage is versus what, like, Reddit covered. Like, it's – I love seeing, like, all that stuff, so I miss out on that. However – I know for me now going in blind, I get really excited about like certain picks, certain player names. What are they wearing? How do they get like all this sort of stuff? So it's always very exciting to me. And then also seeing everyone else's reaction to it as well. Cause like they all know it and I don't. And I'm just like, oh, there's someone named Rob Dillingham. He sounds awesome. Right. And it's just like, oh, the Timberwolves like gave up basically two future first forum, and it's like, that's great. Like, I love things like that. Because we have like no idea how this shit's going to really pan out. And that's what I really love. And then I also just love seeing when like someone like Prez, who puts so much heart and soul into the draft, and he'll get like, say like he gets like a few like really like good stuff right. And he's just like, see, I told you, like, that's the fun part to me. Yeah. So we definitely have draft takes. But we do have, unfortunately, some, one really bad take to start off. I'm going to say right now, it's already a bad take. But it's from our beloved Jerry Garcia. This is what it's like. Oh, wait, no. Sorry,
it's actually
guys.
A question. It's a question, not a take, but we let it in here. Oh, anyway. It slipped in. It snuck in.
Oh, man. Jimmy, you are so lucky. And unfortunately, guys, if you're like one of the three people who are watching on YouTube, I'm reading the takes off my phone. So bear with me. With some of this is our beloved Jerry Garcia asked, is this what it was like to root for the Patriots, only the team isn't run by pure evil? I guess so.
Yeah, I guess so too. I don't think this is as terrible as you were suggesting in the beginning.
It's from Jerry. So like, of course it's bad. It's inherently evil.
But yeah, we are watching the next great dynasty form before our eyes. So yeah, it is pretty awesome.
We need to go back and revisit at least some of the takes before, like even like before the Mikal Bridges trade, and just to see where like how stuff at least aged. I've been really thinking about the trade, like more and more, and how things are turning out, and if the Knicks are actually able to keep everyone, I think I can deal with the overpay in picks. If that makes sense.
I definitely can. I can. Like, even if they lose Hartenstein, I would still be sleeping well.
I would be sleeping well. I think it would just be more of like an annoyance of like, oh, we actually paid the tax, right? We actually paid like this little brother tax. New York, the Knicks tax, right? Like, and I think that sucks. Because like in a vacuum, I think a lot of people would be if we would be making fun of someone's like five first round picks for Mikal, right? And I think it's too much, but it's also like at the same time, I don't think it's going to matter that much, right? In the like the larger scheme of things, I don't think any of those picks in like 2031 are actually going to matter. Like it's so far down the road, but like it could, but it's not going to matter if they win a championship in the next, 4 years, 5 years. Like it's not going to matter.
Yeah. I'm kind of banking on two things with this. So the first one being that, like, this is a very, very common take, but Mikal is worth more to us than he is to any other team, just because of like, for a few different reasons. For the main reason is like the Nova connection, obviously. But the other reason is like, we needed one more wing like this. And we needed one more scorer. And we needed one guy who can kind of guard, like, he can defend small guards and he can kind of play the perimeter while OG's more of a help defender around the rim and stuff like that. And it makes sense from a basketball perspective. And then it makes even more sense from a chemistry perspective. And then the other thing I'm kind of banking on is that this is now the fourth Nova brother who's coming here. The first three all came here and had career seasons with us, whether it's Brunson, who comes here, has a career year. Hart comes here, has a career year development-wise. Dante comes here and shoots the air out of the ball and then becomes like that amazing shooter. And I'm kind of just betting that when Mikal comes here, he will get back. He will either get back to that Phoenix, like, elite defender, tertiary scorer type of role, and that'll probably get better. He'll probably have, like, a career year defensively, a career year offensively. It might not be the highest points per game that he's ever averaged, which is, like, that'll happen in Brooklyn when they're running everything around you. But in terms of, like, efficiency, effectiveness, just overall effectiveness and contributing to winning, I don't think it's a dangerous bet to say that he'll have his greatest season of his career here. So
yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Cause like, if you just kind of like look how his career like trajectory was going, right? He, by his third year, I'm looking at like Basketball Reference right now, right? He got eighth, and I'm surprised they even list like who are the top eight in most improved votings. Like there's actually like a list of like all the way down to eight, which is just amusing to me. But like by year four, which was the year the Suns made the finals, right? He was second in Defensive Player of the Year. He made NBA All First Team. He was averaging 14 points. All Defense First Team. Yes, my mistake. All Defense First. He did not make an actual All NBA. But like 14 points, you know, like 63 true shooting, and the 3-point rate was at like 36. It could be a little higher, but like the trajectory was clearly going that way, right? You kind of like, you saw the role, you saw the vision of what Mikal was going to be. He unfortunately got caught up in the Kevin Durant trade, and the Nets made him option number one. And I think that completely skewed the entire perception of what he is as a player. I think someone in our Discord shared, someone's like, people are going to realize Mikal's not that good. I believe it was like a Nets fan saying, and it's like, well, yeah, he's not good as a first option. Like we kind of saw that. Like we saw that bear out. Like the efficiency dropped. The team was not winning, and he wasn't getting the shots he is normally preferred to get. And now it's going to be even easier for him. Like he's just going to get significantly easier looks now. Yeah. Back in New York, it's going to be easier for him. Completely. So like he's going to get his open threes. His 3-point rate should jack up. I think they're going to tell him like start really shooting threes.
They're like you're never taking a mid-range shot ever again, actually.
Right. So. Like shit like that. But like he also went with that comes, it's like this domino effect too. If Brunson's getting in the paint, he's collapsing the defense. He could kick out the Bridges. Bridges has shown he has some on-ball skills. So like it's not he can't do it. It's just going to be an easier on ball, taking off the defender, driving into the perimeter or anything along those lines. So, like, it's just going to be easier offense. And I think we're really going to see that. But if it doesn't, I mean, I just don't see I don't see it not happening because of his teammates, right? Like, everyone's going to be like, no, you have to play defense. You don't have a choice. Like, I don't think he has a choice in the matter. Now, like he has to be who he used to be in Phoenix. And I think that's going to be a huge addition for this team.
Yeah, and I think he's very, very much willing to do so. And he's like, he'll be happy to play that role for us. And he's not going to come in here and like demand shots and demand offense to be run through him or anything like that. And I was up late like reading his Wikipedia and like going to a bunch of old articles about him just to like kind of learn about where he's been and what he's been through. And the number one thing Jay Wright would say about him at Villanova is that in high school, he was like a number one option. And he was a like go-to scorer who averaged a ton of points and didn't really pass that much. And defense, he was a good defender, but it wasn't really his calling card in high school. And as soon as he came to Villanova, which was a great program with guys who were very, very established scorers already, Jay Wright was like raving about the fact that he was so willing to just focus on defense and make the open shots rather than like command the ball and want offense to be run through him. And then as his Villanova career progressed, he eventually became more of an offensive player, more of a well-rounded scorer. And like, again, his role expanded through his Villanova career. But if you go back and read Jay Wright's quotes, he was raving about his willingness to buy into a role. And when they won championships, he wasn't, or especially the 2016 championship, he wasn't like a major, major piece of that team. He was very, very much involved, but he wasn't the go-to scorer. And Wright was praising the hell out of him for that. So I think he's willing to do that. That's the type of guy he is. And especially for his teammates, again, like you can't really make up a better fit. So.
No, I don't think you can either. I think it's going to work. It's actually great. Now that I think about like, what are the discussions we're going to have in debates? And it's such a far contrast of where Knicks fans and stuff used to be. Because we're going to be debating like, oh, does should Dante DiVincenzo close over Mikal Bridges or something like that, right? And this is like a luxury I don't think we've ever had, because there's times we're talking about, like, right, we're just like, oh, can Fizdale actually fix Moutier, right? Like, there's such a contrast from, like, those times, and we're like, oh, I don't know if I want Dante DiVincenzo to come off the bench. Like, I don't know. It's just it's such a good time to be.
Yeah, I also think – so you talk about, like, the closing argument, and I'm sure there will be nights this season where, like, either Mikal doesn't close or Hart is on the bench to close. Yeah, doesn't close. There will be nights where, like, that is a dispute or an argument, and we'll say Tibbs got it wrong or whatever, this and that. But it's very, very different to what it was 2 years ago when, I don't know, there were nights where Burks would close over Quickly, or Quickly would close over RJ, or Hart would close over RJ.
Mm-hmm.
There was all this kind of, like, political stuff where, like, RJ was a lottery pick, and he's a top three pick. And, like, there's all these guys where, like, oh, well, they're entitled to this, or they want this role, and all this. And there's a little more drama to it. But when these guys are, like, all college teammates, they're all here for one common goal. They're all kind of being paid pretty similarly, besides OG, who's getting a ton of money now. But, like, they're all kind of getting paid very, very similar contracts. So I don't think there will be, like, I'm pretty confident there won't be, like, any bad media quotes, or there won't be any leaks about, like, oh, he's unhappy with his role, or he wants more shots, or he wants more minutes, or he should have closed. Like, hey, certain nights guys are going to close, and the next night a different guy's going to close. And that's just how good our team is, and that's a testament to our depth. And I really can't see that becoming an issue for us by any means.
I'm with you.
Yeah, this has become a whole Mikal discussion. We haven't even gotten to a take yet. Oh, we got one, but this is fine. We needed to do this. So
yeah, we're getting into the draft now. So the whole point of this episode is basically we asked folks in our Discord, again, patreon.com/TheStrickland, sign up so you can ask these questions. We wanted to get some takes in before the draft. Ultimately, see how are they going to age in the immediate. We're recording this on a Friday after the draft. So we want to see how they specifically age, and then, of course, how they age moving forward. So our first actual take is from Orange and Blue. The Knicks will get a high-end rotation player out of tonight's draft. Walt Perrin will put the cherry on this Sunday before our picks begin to evaporate.
Home run, grand slam take, smashed out of the park.
You know what? Like, looking on how the draft went, so the Knicks, the magical 25th pick, they selected, is it Pacome Dadier? Oh, Dadier.
Who's your Dadier?
Yeah, there you go. So he is the youngest player, I believe, according to Prez, was the youngest player in the draft.
He was.
He was so, it was funny because it was such an unexpected pick. Our guy Prez didn't even have a disrespectful comp or even like anything set up, because it was like, there's no way Walt Perrin is going to pick a kid, which bared out in the second round when they picked up, was it? What did Prez say? It was like white chocolate Conley. What was his?
This Tyler Kolek. Are you talking about Kolek?
Yeah. Who is like?
I gotta pull it up. He actually had a great disrespectful comp for him, and I'm pissed I'm not remembering it. So I'm gonna pull it up right now. Hold on.
It was rebooted Darren Collison. Like reprogrammed, reinstalled Darren Collison, and it was like white chocolate.
I'll read you the three. First of all, if you're listening and you don't know about Prez's disrespectful comps,
Stop listening and go read it.
Yeah, go read it. Presidente has a list of disrespectful draft comparisons for the top like 20, 25-ish players in the NBA draft, and they are great. I'm gonna read Tyler Kolek's. Mm-hmm. The high end Kolek comp is the Paul Wall of Mike Conley's.
That's what it is. The Paul Wall, the white chocolate. Close enough.
The medium outcome is analytics hardware upgrade, Darren Collison.
See, okay, there we go. I basically got that.
And then the low end outcome is Narragansett Napier.
Yeah, no, that one's rough.
That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. But I think
Napier is really good.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be better than Mr. Napier. So, but those are the three. And there's plenty of better ones for the other players in this draft. But you have to read it yourself to get those. So.
So that's what those were like the two main like Knicks picks, and then they picked someone later in the draft. I basically checked out after the Kolek trade. So there was one guy at 58 who no one knew, and then who was the other?
Well, I don't. So the other guy was Kevin McCullough Jr. from Kansas at 56. Okay. And when they picked Kevin McCullough Jr. at 56, they actually didn't have the 58th pick, so I assumed the draft ended there. And then right when Dallas was on the clock at 58, we get a last minute notification that the Knicks have 58 and they go get Ariel. I believe his name is Ariel Hakporti. Is that how he pronounces his name? I'm not 100% sure on the pronunciation from his name, but he's a big from Australia and projects to be like a rim running, finishing, drop coverage big, which is very, very Knicksy. But the thing is that I wanted to get into with McCullough and Kolek and Paco Ndadaye, like, and you were talking about this earlier. I was so, present and I really were so like in the weeds of the draft, pre-draft process with like, who are they bringing in for workouts? Who are the insiders saying that they're into? And all this intel comes out, all these smoke screens come out, all these reporters and leaks. And we had a couple agents DMing us on the Strickland account being like, hey, our client worked out for the Knicks. And we would put those tweets up, which was pretty awesome for us. But the people in our community were so like, oh, they're definitely taking this guy. He came in for two workouts. He came in here. Oh, Vecini had this reporting or Wasserman had this reporting. And just as I should have expected, they completely surprise us. And they take Paco, who was like not mentioned as I know he did work out for the Knicks, but like that workout was not reported on. Nobody announced that they had brought him in. There was really no report of interest about him that I can remember. And again, like total surprise. Kolek, a little bit more report of interest than him. It kind of made sense on paper. And he is he played in the Big East, but he's also just a big name player and like a Big East player of the year who had a garden moment like in the Big East tournament this year.
Like once I learned who he was, I was like, this makes the most sense.
He was extremely Knicksy. And like he was the one of the three that you could have seen coming. But then McCullough happened. And shout out to Knicks Film School, Chris Persianen's draft class pod with Jonathan Wasserman. Wasserman came on and straight up said the Knicks have interest in Kevin McCullough. And he's like, I know that McCullough has a lot of fans in the Knicks organization. And they got him at 56. Listen, this guy was projected to go. Well, I'll give you the story on him. He got injured at Kansas this year and like kind of fell off after that injury. Had he not been injured, he would be a first round pick. He was a legit, like no doubt first round pick. He kind of fell into like that 30 to 40 range when he got the injury. And then we got him at 56, which was wild. So Wasserman actually put up a tweet yesterday. He was like, the Knicks are getting guys that they like way later in the draft than they should have gone while collecting extra assets. And that's becoming a theme. Every single draft.
Absolutely. This is the theme that the Knicks do.
We get guys we want. We get them later than they were supposed to go. And we collect assets while doing it. And like you can't ask for a better draft than that. So McCullough, Kolek, Paco Ndadaye. Paco will probably be an impact player in like 3 or 4 years. Like I can't see him like being in the rotation by any means this year. He'll probably be like a Westchester Knicks star. But McCullough can play this year. Kolek can absolutely play this year. And who knows with this center that he might be able to get in there too. So
I liked when Ndadaye, the pick comes in. I see the highlights. It's like I don't know who this is. So I love looking at like, you know, what is the highlight package going to be? What is ESPN going to say? And Prez was like, no to this, but like he came off as like big time, like Hooper vibes in the highlight video.
ESPN. He kind of has that. He's got that.
And I was very excited, right? Because it was just like, you know, like the pull up midi with the form and like just,
the movement shooting, the high release point. Like I don't love the Michael Porter Jr. comp, but like the jumper looks like Michael Porter Jr.'s jumper where he gets this really, really high release point and elevates a lot in his jumper.
It looks good. Like this looks promising. Like,
yeah,
I don't. And then also like, it was like the grainy footage, which is my favorite is like grainy footage from like a random place somewhere overseas. It gets me every single time, but he's going to be someone we're going to be like, you know, like by his second contract, like, okay, who is he actually going to be now? But no, the Knicks got, how many second rounds did they end up with? Because they traded their five firsts for McHale, and then they recouped a bunch of seconds.
But then they spent some of them the next day. So which is fine. I don't know what the final tally is, though. I'd have to go
look. But like they got like their three roster, like they got guys they could just kind of like slot in right now. They're gonna be cheap, promising. Like, I don't know. I feel like they did a really good job, especially with this Kolek guy, because the quote, someone shared a quote where he's like, I enjoy going into places where they're yelling at you, like, where were you January 6th? And then he puts up buckets, and then he just loves the booze. And I'm like, I like this.
He's got that dog in him, man. It's like such a boring take to say, and it's like it gets thrown around a lot, but like he absolutely has that dog in him. So I'm ready for him. I'm ready to have, like, he's 22. Like he's ready to contribute now. And like, we're going back to like the orange and blue take that got us here. The Knicks will get a high end rotation player out of this draft. I think Kolek projects to be like the 10th man in our 9-man rotation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so like that's what it's probably going to be.
Yeah, I think that's what it'll end up being. He'll be like the 10th guy on our depth chart when we play 9 guys. And if we're down a guard, he'll be that guard that goes in there. And look,
yes,
you can't count on this team like being healthy the whole year. So like this guy will play, and he will have moments that are very, very impressive this year. And his game has a lot of flash to it. Like his passes have a lot of art to them, and his finishing has a lot of art to it. And it's like he's a short guard. Like he uses these very, very crafty, almost like hook shot-esque layup finishes, which are very, very pretty. And he'll have some real guard and moments this year. And I'm so excited for him. So.
And he's a lefty.
And he's a lefty. Yep.
I love me my lefty. So our next take is from our beloved editor and chief, Alex Wolf. His take was, the Knicks will make all three of their draft picks tonight.
Wow.
Terrible take. That didn't happen.
It didn't happen. They made all four of them. How about that?
Yeah, they made four. And guess what? And they were in different spots, though. So
yeah, like, they were not ours. They were a bunch of random picks. So he was correct in spirit, but not in fact. So
yeah, not in fact. In spirit, though, he got the right gist of like the Knicks are picking players. I think all of us were like,
yeah,
given the specific situations with the cap, who like what type of players they can actually bring in, fill out, round out the roster, we knew they were picking. Like, we knew they were taking guys. They didn't take last year. They traded most of their young guys to get in these core in their prime players, you know, their mid-20s, basically. And they needed guys to round out the roster. And this was the perfect time for them to bring in some guys in their early 20s. Dadier is 18, right? So, like, it works out for them. And I think they just did a really good job doing it. Like, so... But no, unfortunately, Alex, wrong. Terrible, terrible take. Aged terribly. So our next take is from David Goodman.
Well, there's two here. I'd read the message that he replied to first.
Yes, okay. So there is thank you, Zach. Again, guys, I'm reading this off my phone, and it is not as clean as I want it to be. The first take is from Jax365, which is the Knicks will draft Nikola,
Nikola Jurišić, yeah.
There we go. And then David Goodman replied, this could be a made-up name, and I wouldn't know.
I just thought this was funny.
Is this a made-up name?
No, it's a real name. Nikola Jurišić is a real name. I believe he's going to Atlanta. He was drafted by Miami and traded to Atlanta like right when it happened. So he was one of those guys where like he's a total wild card, but I believe he played for Mega Basket in Serbia, which is the Nikola Jokic team. And like the Nikola Jovic team, like that Serbian powerhouse club.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I want to double check that. But Jurišić had a lot of fans this year. Yeah, he did play for Mega Basket. And when he went to Miami, like the notification was that Miami is drafting Nikola Jurišić. I was like, fuck, they got another one of these great players. And like if Miami sees it with him, like, oh, they're gonna they believe in him. They got one. Like I was so pissed. Mm-hmm. And then Atlanta trades for him, and I was like, oh wait. He might just suck. Like if Atlanta's getting him, and like they don't know what they're doing, bro. Like, all right, he might actually not be good. So I thought it was funny. I wanted to talk a little Nikola Jurišić, and David Goodman. Like it looks like a made up name, and he wouldn't know. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't pan out to be anything. So sorry to Atlanta Hawks, but
so apparently with the Hawks, the guy they picked was
who did they grab again?
Zachary.
Oh, is that Richichet? I'm sorry. Richichet, number
Richichet,
one.
As the number one pick. And apparently that wasn't like he was not even like the top prospect of like these French guys. It was supposed to be Alex Sarr.
Yeah.
And he was. The Hawks didn't get him. Sarr falls to two to the Wizards, which I mean, that seems pretty good. I don't really like everyone's like this is a bad draft or whatever their things are for the draft. There's no superstars or whatever. But like, I don't know, like the way they profiled like Sarr on ESPN, I'm like, well, he seems like he's just going to be like a good pro. And I'm like, that's a good pick. Like, I don't get why everything has to be like he's going to be a superstar or not. I don't understand that logic. when people like Sar, this back after a good draft. Like,
Sar is tall and can shoot. Like, what more do you want from like these like prospects where it's like I considered a bad draft?
Yeah, but, like I don't under like I didn't understand it.
The behind the scenes story with him not going number one is that Sar is like, he's a big, like, I don't know if he's 7 foot, but he's like definitely like 6'10", 6'11", and he can shoot the shit out of the ball. He's a great like help defender, great rim protector, stuff like that. And he can kind of switch onto guards if he has to too. Projected to do that. But I heard that Atlanta really wanted him to play the five. Like Atlanta saw him as a like set screens for Trey, go catch lobs, go roll on Trey screens, stuff like that. And apparently, like, this is just the rumor, the reporting is that he doesn't want to be a five. He views himself as a four and refused to work out for Atlanta because they want him to play the five. And in Washington, he'll be a four and he won't really like have to go battle down low with bigs. And he'll play a little more on the perimeter in Washington. And hey, who knows with him? Like, this is, again, like such a weird draft where like the top of it is not that good. And like, we just don't know what's going to happen here. But Richache, like, he kind of like, again, I didn't crunch draft tape, but I did read a lot of articles. I did listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff. He seems to be one of those guys who has a great frame, great size, can move pretty well, and is pretty good at everything, but not great at anything, which is like, there's a lot of prospects in every draft like that. But taking one of those guys at number one, I'm just like a little wary on. I'm like, so what is your elite skill? Like, what are you supposed to be? And like the projection that like the comparison that was thrown around a lot for him is like Harrison Barnes. But when I like remember Harrison Barnes coming into the league, do you remember how explosive an athlete he was? And like when he was in like the dunk contest coming in, and like he used to really catch some bodies like that.
When Harrison Barnes came in, there was a little more like offensive.
Yeah. But he was also just like bigger than him. He was like a bigger
dude. He was. Harrison Barnes was considered like a good prospect. He became like a very like solid pro.
Yeah.
But he didn't have these, I guess what people were explaining Richache was, right? Like that Harrison Barnes didn't have those like, oh, he's good at everything. It was just like, no, he's like, he's a big, he can score, he has potential. Like that was the narrative on Barnes. And if you're saying Richache's outcome is going to be what Barnes became, like that's like the high end outcome. It's like, that's a little troubling because
it
Barnes
is
kind of, I don't want to say disappointed, but like there was an underachievement base in terms of related to what people saw Barnes to become.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes wasn't a good pro, but
This could age horribly, by the way. Like, I am no, like, draft guru. Richache could be a stud, but I was not enamored by the Richache tape and the Richache scouting reports. So that's, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so you say that, and they're like, they wanted Sar to be a big and rim running, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There were two bigs in this draft.
And heavily rumored to go to Atlanta number one.
Why wouldn't you either take, I forget the UConn guy's name, but I'm just going to call him
Donovan. Gunther. It's Donovan Klingon.
Okay, Gunther. So, like, Gunther was there. He apparently, like, he's a two-time national title center who does apparently everything that you want a center to do. So, like, why not trade back, right? Like, trade back in order to get him. Or even trade further back and get Zach Edey.
Or just take him at number one. Like, it's not even, it's like a type of draft where
right,
that's okay.
Right, exactly. Like it's okay. Yeah, that's why I don't understand the logic of like, oh, Sar's not going to be the center that we want, so we're going to draft a wing. It's like, no, just draft. There's two centers. Draft the center, one of the centers. Just draft Gunther. And no one would be like, all right, that's a good pick. Because like, you got your center now. And it's like, I don't understand what Atlanta did on that one. Like either trade back or take the center, but we'll see. G Baked has Leon is going to re-sign OG and Iheart, have a banger draft, and hold a press conference. Hey, we are two out of the four with this take so far, because OG apparently will re-sign with the Knicks. It appears to have been a great draft. The press conference, who knows? And I think we just have to wait like another week or so with Hartenstein. And
it could be like today. It might not even be a week. Like we'll find out.
No, because I think how it's supposed to work, the new CBA is so goddamn convoluted now that like I am constantly asking everyone in our Discord. I have tried reading the new CBA multiple times, like as it's been that like I can't read it. It's too much. But I think they have to wait till until the fiscal year starts, because that's when they can actually like sign and trade either Burks or Achiuwa somewhere to then loop into a three-team trade in order to get the negative. Like, I think it has to happen after the fiscal year.
You might be right.
Again, we'll have our fact checkers check, because we do that all the time. I have no idea, though. But given the way the Knicks operated in this draft, I think they're like, no, we're getting Hartenstein as much money as we can possibly give him, and he's okay taking a discount, whatever the discount necessarily is. But like the Knicks look like they're actively operating to be like, you're getting 472. We're going to do heaven and earth to make sure you get 472. And they've been doing it. And it's like, I think to me that shows that they care.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long way.
I'm not sure. I'm not like, again, this is like a Jeremy Cohen thing to ask, but I believe that these second round picks, like these guys that we drafted, these three second round picks we have, will be signed to the second round pick exception, which is a very, very, very cheap contract. And it's cheaper than like a veteran's minimum, or it's cheaper than like an MLE guy. Drafting this many rookies makes me think that they're all going to get guaranteed deals. They're not going to get a two-way contract. And Jeremy put up a tweet yesterday. He was like, keep an eye out to see like if any of these guys get two-way, because that would be announced like today or tomorrow or the next day. Mm-hmm. And if we don't hear anything about them getting a two-way, start to think that they're going to get those guaranteed deals. And if they're getting those guaranteed deals through the second round pick exception, then they're probably have a good feeling about Hartenstein coming back. And hey, it's noon on Friday and we haven't gotten a two-way contract announcement. So I'm looking good for us.
Yeah. I think that's how it's going to work, because they dumped 24, right, to move back. They operated in the second round, so like they saved money that way. I know everyone's like, it doesn't actually affect the aprons or whatever, and it's like, no, I get that, but like the actual saving of the money when you can operate in the second apron is what they're trying to do, right? It's not like I don't know, it's just really annoying seeing like some of these tweets be like, no, this doesn't actually affect Hartenstein. It's like, well, it does if they're allowed to operate in the second apron. So, like, because that's slightly extra cash. But anyway, it's looking that way. And if Leon pulls this off where it's you bring back OG, you bring in Mikal Bridges, you re-sign Hartenstein, and you don't have to dump Mitch in this process.
Damn.
That's a huge win.
Gold medal. Gold medal for Leon if that happens.
That would be absolutely incredible. And I don't know. It's kind of looking that way. Like, unless Hartenstein's really like, unless someone's going to offer him $25 million a year, maybe. I don't know. And if he wants to go for the money, look, I don't blame him. It's not how I would roll, but like, I don't blame him. But it's not. I don't think it's looking that way. So I feel like, but again, because of like the stupid tampering, like all these stupid restrictions, we don't. Like, we can't mention that there's a sign and trade in right now because it's technically illegal. They can't be like, Oklahoma City can't announce that they're signing Hartenstein because it's technically illegal. So like, we still have some days to wait. But I do think, given how the team has operated specifically since trading for Mikal, they are actively trying to get Hartenstein for 72. And if they're doing that, I think that's a very good sign, because it shows like, no, we do care about you. We're not trying to shortchange you. We will get you as much as we can, and it can be done. And I think they're going to do it. I really think they're going to pull this off.
I think so too.
So Mr. $212.5 million man has shared a tweet from Billy Reinhart that Cooper Flagg Duke practice clip might have pushed the Nets into – this rebuild.
So do you know who Cooper Flagg is? And do you know about this practice clip that's being discussed?
So this is what I can surmise by this. Cooper Flagg, Duke. So this is a white boy with questionable history in terms of, was he a part of the January 6th insurrection? Was he in Charlottesville with the tiki torches? I don't know. Was he fighting people in Mobile, Alabama during the riverboat incident? I don't know where he is. He's from Duke, so I know he's a dick and he's an asshole. He's probably decent. He's probably good at basketball to some degree, but like, that's all I got. How close was I? How close was I?
You've been closer on other things, but you definitely weren't far away.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Cooper Flagg is known as the next like franchise changing talent in the NBA pipeline. And like, had he be in this draft, he would be number one, like clear cut, far and away number one pick in this draft. But okay. He is consensusly the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft and has been on the NBA radar for years now. And he's actually from Maine. He grew up in Maine and he might be the best basketball player to ever grow up in Maine and projects to be very good.
I can safely say that.
And there was a clip of him at, he like just arrived on Duke's campus like last week. And there was like a clip that went out of him just like yamming on everybody, shooting threes from like 4 feet behind the line, doing crazy shit at the Duke facility. And the joke is that the next day, the Nets traded McCall. So maybe they saw that video or like, all right, fuck this. Let's get Cooper Flagg. Let's bottom out. Let's do this. So yeah, pretty funny. But I do want to just like applaud the Nets for like finally doing it. Like finally blowing the shit up and finally being like, you know what? Let's just not be mid. Like, let's just bottom out for the first time in like 20 years and do this. And listen, like, they made out pretty well in this whole thing. Like, they got their own
picks back. They made out very well.
Yeah, they got their own picks back. They got plenty of Knicks picks. They've got the – do they have a Houston pick now? I mean, they have Houston picks from the Harden deal back in then. But they are
– they have tons of shit.
Their books are clean. Well, as clean as they get. They just signed Claxton to a 400-year – that's another discussion. I don't know who they were competing with for Claxton. I don't know what the market was for Claxton. I don't know why they rushed to give him, like, four years, $100 million. But, hey, have at it. It's going to be really hilarious when Hartenstein signs for less. So
it's still, I still think that's a, it's probably an okay deal.
Yeah. It's probably fine. But I just don't know like what the market was for him. So like, I just don't know what rush they were in to like sign him to that deal.
I think it's all one of those things where it's just like, he's been with the team. He's grown with the team. So like reward guys in that way. Right. And I think there's value to that. But if you want to be very, like you're into like market wise, I don't know who is giving him that much, but that's fine. But yeah, no, they finally gave up, which is I think so many of us were saying, like, I don't know what, like, there's no point in being this mid given the circumstances, like, because there's no path. And even with that mid, if you got someone elite, it still wasn't going to be enough because that's how mid they were. Because like, you weren't bringing in like Jokic, you weren't bringing in Giannis. Like, The idea was, right, like Donovan Mitchell. That's going to upgrade them, of course, but then you just become a worse version of the Cavs. So it's like you're not doing anything. You managed to exploit the Knicks, you know, to get them to pay the Knicks tax from McHale, which was the smart move to do. And like, yeah, they did their job.
They also, like, the thing that's going, like, kind of going unnoticed, like, they got their picks back from Houston. Like, that's major. Like, they could not have traded McCall without getting their own pick back so they can actually tank this year and like get something for it. And the fact that they got their own pick back from Houston and McCall didn't end up in Houston is pretty impressive. Yeah. Because I know like McCall was like, there was a lot of Houston interest in McCall, and like that was the whole like framework that had been floated around for a while. And they're lucky that Houston thinks they can get KD or Booker, because they wanted those Suns picks pretty bad, and that worked out pretty well for them. And they get a little round of applause for me for that. So there you go.
Yeah. So yeah, they did the job. I'm happy. Congrats. Jax365 has, the NBA should have the draft at MSG Sphere for all the good Mr. Dolan has done for New York basketball in the last 4 years. Okay. So I agree in the whole spirit of the Mr. Dolan and everything like that. But honestly, though, they should have it at the Sphere. Like, why wouldn't you start doing more things at the Sphere?
Well, I bet you didn't know this, but tonight, Friday, June 28th, we're recording this. The NHL draft, National Hockey League draft, is taking place from the Sphere tonight. For the first time.
There you go.
So we're going to see how that goes. This is the proof of concept for the NBA draft at the Sphere. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it looks. And I buy it, man. Like, I think the NBA is, like, all in on Vegas being a, like, destination city for them. They did the in-season tournament there. They're probably going to get an expansion team there. They have the summer league there. I buy it being a draft site long term. So we'll see how the NHL one goes tonight. And, yeah, looking forward to it.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
I really do. And
like, Dolan jokes aside, like, I think it's actually a good venue.
It's just a good idea. Like, you're just going to also, like, you just kind of, like, have the summer, like, the summer's in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that. Why not? It makes sense.
Like, you can, like, keep the prospects there that week. Like, they don't need to, like, go back to the game. Like, it, like, makes sense.
They can I think so. Like, they can actually do something with it. I don't know. But, like, I think it makes complete sense to bring it there because we're going to have July, right? Like, end of July summer league. That's when it starts.
I mean, it's like July 7th. I think it's very soon. It's like early July.
Oh, okay. So, like, in that case, I do think it would make sense to be like, hey, we're bringing the entire, like, we're bringing the whole draft here. Everyone can come and we'll just make it like a thing. Like, I love the idea. We have a take from Deuter Adam. The Brooklyn Nets will finish with the worst record in the league next season and the lottery gods will drop them to fifth. Book it. We'll see how that ages. I think that's actually what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm not much of I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but I do operate under the impression that the lottery is rigged every year. Like, I don't believe that a $1 billion league will, like, leave this up to a lottery. Like, there's no way that they, like Wembanyama is a $1 billion talent, like a $1 billion franchise changing talent. And, like, you can't just, like, leave that up to ping pong balls. You can't. Like, you have to make sure, like, that goes right. And they put him in San Antonio, and, like, I think it'll go right there. But, like, who knows if he ended up in, like, Detroit with, like, Monty Williams and Troy Weaver. Like,
I know.
Like, that would fucking suck for the NBA. So, like, well,
They ruined it with Zion. They literally ruined it with Zion.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, we need to give New Orleans back because they got rid, like, we got rid of, we sent AD to LeBron. It's like, we need to help him out again. It's like, no, that is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And it has gone like that, like, terrible. So, no, I'm with you. I don't think they're not going to win the top pick.
But maybe, though. I was listening to Bill Simmons after this McCall trade, and he's like, so the Nets just relocate? He's like, what's going on in Brooklyn? Like, is anybody, like, going to go to games next year?
I'm with you on that. Like, let's be real.
So maybe the league, like, sees this mess in Brooklyn and, like, doesn't want them to relocate, and they're like, fuck, we got to give them Cooper Flagg. So, like, maybe that happens, which would really suck. But
no, I think, honestly, if now that, like, you brought this up because of, like, Simmons, what would make sense? Get the Nets back, move them to Seattle, create the Sonics again, and then give them Cooper. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point?
I think they're just going to add Seattle and Vegas as expansion teams, though.
No, so. That's fair. But, like, what? I don't see the point in Brooklyn.
Put them in Jersey. Just go back to Jersey.
I don't understand it. Like, Barclays, like, there's three teams that play in Barclays. The Liberty?
I think there's two.
You'll see where I'm going. The Liberty, which is their home arena. The Knicks, which is their second home arena. Yeah,
that's true.
And then it's the Nets, right? Yeah. Like, that's the order of thing. Like, the Liberty are selling out now, right?
Liberty draw great crowds. They draw amazing crowds.
It is big. Like, that is their, like, the Barclays is their arena. It is the Liberty's arena. And when it's the Knicks versus the Nets, it's another Knicks home game. Like, who are we kidding? It's been like that ever since,
you know, it opened. Like, it opened.
Like, it's always that case. And it's just like, I don't see a point to the Brooklyn Nets. I think there should be some sort of relocation. I know you're right. They're definitely going to do expansion probably for Seattle and Vegas. But yeah, maybe moving them back to Jersey, moving them. Like, I don't see a point.
Hey, you know what? When they add Seattle and Vegas, that will add two teams to the West, which will be imbalanced. So one Eastern Conference team or one, I'm sorry, one Western Conference team will have to like change conferences to make it balance. So maybe there's like some shifting that they could do, but I don't know. I think they
would. I think New Orleans would just become an Eastern.
Yeah. Conference. Yeah. I think either New Orleans or Minnesota will just, or Minnesota will become an Eastern Conference team. But yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those three teams. It's basically whatever city is like closest to the Mississippi River is going to be an East Coast team. But no, they're not going to win. They're not winning the lottery. I know that for a fact. They're not giving it to the Nets. I would be shocked if they did.
Maybe.
Jax365 has Randall will not be a Knick by the end of the night two of the NBA draft. Ooh, Jax, terrible take.
Terrible. Praying on his downfall, man. What were you doing? Come on.
What are you? A lot of people have been are ready to give up on Randall, but you know what? I'm not either.
And like when they made this Mikal trade, a lot of people were like, "Oh, so this definitely means they're trading Randall." And I'm like, "What? Like, where are you getting that from? Like, what dots brought you there? Like, I don't think that's in the cards this year. I think Randall is the guy. Like, again, like the Knicks made a all-in move just now, but I think there's like one more all-in move to be made. Not now, but like, and maybe not even next year, but like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, they still have some picks. They will have young players. They will have money on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Randall is the guy to go out in like 2 or 3 years for another like major star.
So that's what I think is going to ultimately happen. Probably what caused the Mikal trade is that they did not want to pay Paul George.
Yeah.
Cause he was like, I want the max at his age. And like, sure. But like, no, right. Like, really, no, I'm not.
They were definitely interested in Paul George, the player, and they definitely poked around for scenarios to see like what they could have done. Could they do with Randall? Right, exactly. Could they do without Randall? But when they found out that he wanted this max, it just like didn't make that much sense. And they pivoted to Mikal, and here we are. So
yeah, that's ultimately what it is. So I do think there was an opportunity where like Randall would have been replaced by Paul George. It's not inconceivable just given how, in order to bring in Paul George, if the Knicks were like, no, we really want George in. The cleanest way was to add Randall. And I think there was some logic to that. But like, yeah, after Mikal is like, no, Randall's going to, like, it's Randall. They're keeping Randall. How long they're going to keep Randall? How long is he going to be long-term? That's to be determined. I don't think we know that just yet. And we'll see. But no, Jax, terrible take, terrible prediction. And yeah, awful. Just awful.
Awful.
Stacey Patton has a lineup of Brunson, Dante, Bridges, OG, and Randall would have an offensive rating of 140 over any sample size and would be impossible to guard.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, I don't.
But this does. So like, I like this take because this opens a discussion that I wanted to have about this new look Knicks team we have with Tibbs here. And I think the biggest problem that could happen is that like we have this option to go five out very, very easily now. More easily than we did last year with Mikal.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And like, I don't think our starting lineup needs to be five out. I don't think we need to play five out 48 minutes a game.
But it
needs to be an option for us in the playoffs. Like, if you just watch what Boston was doing, they were spreading teams open with the five out lineup. Pause. And like, it was a great, effective offensive lineup. And like, I think that's what it takes to win in this league now. Like, you need to have like a lineup. It doesn't need to be all their lineups, but you need to have a lineup that does like spread the offense out like that and very, very effective scoring options. Tibbs needs to experiment with that in the regular season and like make that a thing early. Like, he can't just do that when he's forced to do it, when guys are injured or guys are in foul trouble or something like that. Like, that needs to be something that we go to in the regular season and is an option for us throughout the year, and we refine it and we know how to play that way in the playoffs. So we have different looks to throw at teams, whether it's a five out look or a Mitch look or a Hartenstein look, if that happens. And there are different kinds of five out lineups, because this one that Stacey submitted, Brunson, Dante, Bridges, OG, Randall, is great. There's probably a version of this with Hart in there somewhere, maybe a Hart for Dante or Hart for Bridges or some sort of thing like that.
Right. And
look, maybe there's a version with Kolek in there too, or Deuce or something like that. But there's a lot of different like five out looks that he can go to. And I just want to make sure that Tibbs is experimental from the get-go and not just forced to do it when the circumstances make him do it. So
yes, if there's anything that we learned from this Celtics title, was ultimately like they managed throughout the entirety of their season to like make sure that they have enough guys to minimize three-point variation. And the key was always like they had to play defense, they had to rebound, and Brown and Tatum had to attack the rim. And they did that in the playoffs, and that was like ultimately what is in the Knicks have that line, that identity and that concept as well of Brunson attacking the rim, Randall attacking the rim, and then spraying out to everyone else. So like I think the Knicks are kind of have similar players to actually emulate what the Celtics are doing.
Yeah, I think they get it.
They get it. And because the Knicks already rebound, they already play defense, and their star player, Brunson, very much is like, I'm going into the paint. I'm getting into the defense. I'm going into the paint. I'm not settling for shots. And that was the big thing with Jason Tatum. It's like, he needs to stop settling for shots. He stopped settling for shots, and they win a title. It's like, oh, shocking. So I think Stacey, as boring as this take is and as safe as his take is, like, I think this is a possibility they definitely need to, like, they have to explore it, right? Because, like, if they are going to face the Celtics and if Porzingis is going to be healthy, like, Mitch doesn't really work against Porzingis. Hartenstein doesn't really work against Porzingis that much either. Like, you would need Randall to be like,
you need to out-offense them. Like, that's what needs to happen.
Because, like, both teams are going to dig in defensively, right? So it's just like, that's not like you need to be able to box out, protect the paint, and like basically like do what they're doing. And I think the Knicks are capable of doing that because they have the better point guard, right? Like they had the, I guess I get that like because they won and I can't be like Jalen Brunson's better than Jason Tatum or Jalen Brown, because whatever, right? But like, I think the Knicks have the best player in Jalen Brunson. Like, I just think
they'd have the best player in the series, hands down.
Yeah, and at that specific position too, with his point guard, which is a very vital, important thing to help them in the playoffs. So, like, they have the roster to compete against Boston, and they would need to do that because I think you would need Randall to match up with Porzingis, because, like, our centers, as talented and as skilled as they are, it's a very tough matchup. It is. It's like, it's a really tough matchup. You need to switch on Boston. You need to be able to like take away their easy 3-point shots. And you also need to be able to like stay in front of them. So like, it's, yeah, this lineup has to be explored. I feel like now, like, because this is like championship aspirations or finals appearance aspirations or whatever, things are very specific, right? They're very tight. They'd be like, no, you have to do these things. So I hope they do. I really hope they do. Franklin Chubb has, tonight's draft will unite the entire Discord in joy and appreciation. It will herald a New York Knicks golden age. I don't think it went that far, but like, I don't think it went that far though. You think it's spot on?
Yeah.
Did it really unite everyone?
I think it did. They did exactly what we wanted them to do. They got an impact player right now in Kolek. They got a project who's young and like can project to be something that's really, really important and like versatile and dangerous for our team. And then they also got McCuller, who is like a, you take a flyer on that 56, hey, whatever. But he also like has major fans and like was once considered a first round talent and like comes from a big program and like was very, very effective in college. So, hey, well, that's another great pick. And then this guy, the center, Ariel, I believe his name is Ariel Hakporti. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right again, but he might just be like our new Sims, not in the fact that like Sims was a 6'9 center who like looked really high and was kind of able to like play the five because of that. But Hakporti is like a legit 7-footer who like can play drop coverage, can rebound the shit out of the ball, can finish at the rim and like do all the basic Knicks center-y shit. So like, yeah, he's not the same type of player as Sims, but could he be like our third string center and like be our break glass in case of emergency center for the next two or three seasons? I think so. Is that crazy to think so? So I think they had a great draft. It definitely united the Discord. We were all super, super happy to see this outcome in real time. And yeah, it's great. So
nice job, Franklin. That one, according to Zach, aged well. I think it aged, I would say, fine. I don't really know how much unity, but like then again, maybe I'm off with it. ZMP323 has, the Knicks should keep Julius Randle. This is hilarious because like this really is a hot take. especially
it's crazy. Within, it's like, crazy that it's a hot take.
And I mean, I agree with it. I would keep Julius. I don't understand why you wouldn't keep him. Like, I guess if you're going to be like past performance and like, do you want to extend someone? Like, do you want to extend Julius Randle into his age 34 season? So like, I get like little things like that, but I think just generally in the next like couple of years, like I want to keep Julius Randle. I don't know who the upgrade actually is. Like, who's the replacement? Like, I guess if you're like Paul George is going to replace Julius Randle, I would say, yeah, perfect. Because like in a vacuum for like the next 2 years or whatever, I think like long-term wise, I don't think like who's the guy? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who it is, but like,
I don't know. I don't like, are you going to get two lesser guys to equal Julius Randle? So you have an even deeper team? Maybe, but like, I don't think that makes sense.
I'm not doing that. No.
Like, I don't know what the plan would be. So like, unless you want to find someone who fits better for the team and is like as skilled as Randle, right? Like Paul George, sure, go for it. But like, I don't know who that person is right now. So I think they should keep Julius Randle. We'll see. Wamperm has, iHeart is re-signing with the Knicks, and these draft shenanigans are what made it possible. It's looking that way.
Yeah, that's what I think it looks like. I mean, like, if that's not the take, I think something drastic has to change with, like, his free agency negotiations. Like, some team needs to come out of nowhere for things to change. Because I think they, like, I don't think they draft like this without knowing that Hartenstein could come back.
Yeah, because
they like a verbal commitment or something from him. You know what I mean?
They would have picked a big man. Like, they would have picked a legitimate big man prospect. Not like the Sims type of prospect that like
fit yeah, yeah.
right? Like not like they would have they potentially could have like traded up to get into like the Zach Edey sweepstakes or whatever it was, or pick some other guys. There's some other centers that a lot of like our draft people were like, no, these guys are really good too. They're probably doing that. They didn't. So, like, it makes the most sense that they're trying to find ways to save money so when they operate in the second apron, they have enough to offer 472. So, it's looking this way for Marty Wilpon. It's looking pretty good, Marty. This take's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Young Pavardi has, Ryan Dunn interest was a smokescreen for .da. Sure.
I'm not sure I believe this. It might have like been a smokescreen. I don't know if the Knicks like played the smokescreen game this hard. Like, I think they had interest in Ryan Dunn, and they were just like, you know what? Like, I think they saw him. They brought him in for multiple workouts. They have close relationships with his trainer, and they saw him. They liked him, and they were like, we just don't like him enough to take him in the first round. And like, had he been available in the second round, probably would have taken him. But the Suns grabbed him, and that's the way it was. I don't think they were enamored with him by any means, but I'm sure they liked him. Like, I'm sure they were interested in him, but not where he was ended up going. So,
if that's the case, like, I didn't know like that backstory. So like, if that's the case, there was probably one of those situations where like, if he falls the 36, 32,
yeah,
we'll take him.
Yeah,
if he doesn't, that's probably because just. I think that makes them. I think that's probably,
yeah.
What it was.
The one thing that I tend to do this with the draft a lot, where I have prospects who I'm like halfway in, halfway out on before the draft, and then like based on what team they end up with, I have more of an opinion, because if they get drafted by a team that like is known to draft well and known to develop players well, then I'm into them.
Yeah.
But if they're drafted by like a team that sucks at drafting, I'm like, oh, he might be terrible. So like, this is kind of like what happened with the Hawks and Jurišić just now. But like, the Knicks having two chances to take Ryan Dunn, like the Knicks had two picks to take Ryan Dunn where they could have taken him, they could have traded up for him too. The fact that they didn't get him and then the Suns took him right after, he might suck. Like he might be terrible. So I don't know. Like,
or like, I think the other thing could be is that they identified the right type of player of who Ryan Dunn is, but then Phoenix is like. We really, really, really need him to be like this guy. And then that's going to cause the failure. Right? Like, if the Knicks picked him, it's like, oh, I see what they're doing, right? Like, he fits the profile. They're going to give him some time to work in, for where Phoenix is like, he fits the profile and we desperately need him to be like this defensive type of player. I think that's probably it. But I'm with you though, too, right? Where you're just like, oh, they're going for like the big swing. That's probably not the, I don't trust them with a big swing type guy, or that I'm with you there. Yeah, I don't think the Knicks do smoke screens. It's not a
Like, I don't think they play the media games like that. Like, I don't know.
They don't. They really don't. Like, the only time, they don't. Jax365 has Pacome Dadie is the
French. I think it's just Pacome, not Pacome.
Oh, Pacome, sorry. I was doing like two languages and Pacome.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's. I think it's just Pacome Dadie. That's it.
Okay. Dadie is the French prince who was promised to us. Probably.
He could be, man. It's a little heartbreaking. You know, I got a Nil Aquino jersey right behind me over here. So, but
it's probably, honestly, it makes sense. I feel like, just given like it being the 25th pick, it being like a raw prospect who is like long and lanky and big and has some on ball skill, like it kind of tracks. I think this could be
he's going to avenge the legacy of Frank Ntilikina.
I think this is what it's good. I actually think this is what's going to happen. Cause like, yeah, I'm with this. I like this narrative. I hope we're going to revisit this in like, what, like 4 years, but that's,
yeah. I also just like, this is like a semi-related note, but I don't know if you saw the report today from Woj, but the Knicks, one of the Knicks' top scouts, Alex Klein, is leaving the organization today.
We go to Syracuse.
To take the GM job at Syracuse. I don't know if you, do you know the Alex Klein backstory?
Mm-mm.
I'll give you like the 1 minute summary of it.
No, go for it. So let's go.
When he was 15 years old, he created like an independent scouting website. I don't remember. I think it was called like the Prospect Report or something like that. The scouting, like some sort of independent website when he was 15. And like blew up, great, great, phenomenal work. And he just grinded his way like through the independent media, eventually into a Knicks scouting job, and highly, highly, highly regarded scout for the Knicks. Dan Hurley actually told the New York Post that like, this guy will be running an organization when he's young. Like, he will run an organization when he's young, and I won't be surprised when it happens. And today it happened. But today I just do think that, I think it was pretty, like, I'm sure this deal was in place for him to become the Syracuse manager like weeks ago, but like, and it gets announced the day after the draft. This draft was the Alex Klein parting gift. Like, could you imagine in like 4 years when Pacome Dadie is like turns into something like that, and maybe we win a championship with Tyler Kolek or something? Like, this draft has a chance to be like the Alex Klein signature parting gift, and like we'll remember as the final Alex Klein draft before he goes on to like eventually become an NBA GM or something like that down the line.
We'll find out. It's exciting. So. Yeah. Here is our last take. We started off with him, and now we're ending with him. Our beloved Jerry Garcia. People screaming "fuck" in the draft chats. Yeah, as a bunch of bums who will never play 3 seconds in the league get picked is pretty funny. Did I read that wrong?
I'll read it a little better. People who are screaming "fuck" in the draft chats as a bunch of bums who are never going to play 3 seconds in the league get picked is pretty funny.
So he's calling us bums who are like,
not even you really. It's probably more me and like everybody else who's in the draft season channel, because I have a conspiracy theory that he's talking about Jonathan Mobo. Do you know who that is?
No.
So Jonathan Mobo is like the six six center, like the 6'7" center, who like has these guard skills but can also protect the rim and can also finish at the rim, which is like a really, really interesting player. But he was drafted at 31 by the Raptors with the Pistons pick that we gave them in the OG trade. So, and like he was a very Knicksy target. The Knicks brought him in for two workouts, and like he was kind of a strict cord son a little bit.
I gotcha.
And
okay.
Like when the Raptors got him, we were like, fuck, they got Jonathan Mobo. But like, in reality, like, is Jonathan Mobo going to play legit minutes for the Raptors ever? Like, is he ever going to contribute to winning? I don't fucking know, man. I mean, none of us really know with him.
No, you know, what this reminds me of? Was it two drafts ago for Christian Coloco?
Yes. Oh, my God. The Stacey Patton son. Christian Coloco.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. That's exactly what's happening here.
So, yeah. Actual good take by James.
Yeah, you know what? Surprisingly, that was pretty good. But yeah, that's the show. Again, you guys, we're giving you a free preview of the entire thing of what you're potentially missing out on. We will be back sometime after when like free agency really begins to like die down. So we're definitely be like, hey, if you liked what you heard here, go to patreon.com, sign up, $6 tier, sign up, submit your free agency takes, and come on board to the team so we get to read your takes. If you're like, why is the same people posting? You know how to change that? Sign up for our Patreon. Come on here and get your takes in. We're going to be back with free agency. I can't wait for the free agency takes. We got to start fielding them soon because I'm very excited to see how these age, like all the free agency takes age, because I think they're going to age like a bad cheese. And I'm excited for it. So that is our show. We will see you until next time.